Greetings, friends. Today's program is entitled A System of Disobedience. A System of Disobedience. In our last program, I ended by asking the question, why is the mark of the beast so dangerous? Before I answer that, let me restate four facts from our previous program. The first fact is that in Revelation chapter 13, the beast is identified as the Roman Empire. Keep that word Roman in mind. Point number two, in Revelation 13, the image of the beast is identified as the Roman Catholic Church. Point number three, in Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, which is 666, is identified as the sum of the numeric value of the Greek letters in the name Roman. Now, in Greek, the word Roman is actually spelled L-A-T-E-I-N-O-S. That's Latinos. Again, I'll give you that spelling. It is L-A-T-E-I-N-O-S. That is the Greek letters for the name Roman. Now, what we have to do is count up the numeric equivalent of those letters. Each letter has a number that's associated with it. So let's do that. The L is equal to 30. The A is equal to 1. The T is equal to 300. The E is equal to 5. The I is equal to 10. The N is equal to 50. The O is equal to 70. And the S is equal to 200. So when we add these up, we have 30 plus 1 plus 300 plus 5 plus 10 plus 50 plus 70 plus 200. Those count up to 666. So the mark of the beast, 666, is known by understanding the name Roman, which in Greek is L-A-T-E-I-N. OS. And we count it in Greek because Greek is the language in which the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. And that's where he describes it. Now we're going to see that this mark represents a system of disobedience. It's a system of disobedience against the one true God. And now the fourth point is in Revelation chapter 17. Here we see that the harlot daughters of the Roman Catholic Church are identified as Protestant churches. You know that in Revelation 17, and many Protestants preach this, that the mother of harlots is the Roman Catholic Church. So who are the daughters of this mother who is a harlot? Well, Protestants came out of the Roman Catholic Church, but only a part of the way, because they have retained a lot of the idolatrous practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Because they have done this, they've retained the spiritual DNA of the mother of harlots. That makes them the daughter of this harlot. That makes them harlot daughters. So in Revelation chapter 17, the harlot daughters of the Roman Catholic Church are identified as the Protestant churches. Now, those are the four points, and let me state that by no means am I saying that every Roman citizen, or every Roman Catholic, or every Protestant is a bad person. In fact, probably most are good. The same can be said of Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and atheists. Most of them are probably good people. The problem is that their beliefs are bad. Their system of worship is a system of disobedience against the one true God. That's why this program is entitled A System of Disobedience. That's the point I want you to remember more than anything, that this pagan Roman system that is stamped all over the Roman Empire, the Roman Catholic Church, and unfortunately those that came out of the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, this is all a system of disobedience against the one true God. Now that's a strong statement, but we've already proven a lot of it from the scriptures, and we're going to prove even more of it today. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to hear from the one true God how he feels about this system of disobedience? Well, listen to what he says in Revelation chapter 14 and verses 9 through 10. This is Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 10. If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark in his forehead or in his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Please remember that. Anyone who receives the mark of the beast, or who worships the beast or its image, anyone that falls into that category will drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Please also listen to God speak in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6. Because here we have identified in another way who the wrath of God falls upon. It says, on account of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the people of disobedience. I'm going to read that again. On account of these things, speaking of following idolatrous pagan practices, on account of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the people of disobedience. So the people of disobedience are those that worship the beast and its image instead of worshiping the one true God. And the people of disobedience accept the mark of the beast in their foreheads or in their hands. Now, what does this mean? The forehead represents our thoughts. The hand represents our actions. Therefore, the mark or the identifying sign of the beast has to do with its influence over our worship and our work. The forehead represents our thoughts. The hand represents our actions. Therefore, the mark of the beast has to do with its influence over our worship and our work. The forehead represents our thoughts. That's our worship. The hand represents our actions. That's our work. And it says that the people of disobedience will accept the mark of the beast in their foreheads, in their thought processes, in their worship. Or they will receive the mark of the beast in their hands. This means the beast will have influence over our actions, over our ability to work. And make no mistake about it, the beast, under the influence of the dragon, deceitfully influences people to disobey the one true God's commandment relating to worship and work. Do you know from the scriptures, the word of God, what commandment relates to worship and work? Now, don't listen to what your minister says just because he or she seems to know the Bible. And don't listen to me, whether or not you think I know the Bible. Listen to what God says, because God wrote the Bible. Before God formed the nation of Israel, before God formed any nation, before Adam and Eve gave birth to people who would form nations, before any of that, God gave Adam and Eve a commandment relating to worship and work. Where can we find that? Well, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read in verses 1 through 3. This is Genesis chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3. God finished the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had made. Now, did you hear the word work? Yes, you did. Did you hear the word worship? Yes, you did. When you heard the words blessed and sanctified. The Hebrew word for blessed is barak, B-A-R-A-K, meaning to kneel before God as an act of adoration. So the word blessed means to kneel before God as an act of adoration. The Hebrew word for sanctified is Kadash, Q-A-D-A-S-H, meaning to make holy and to observe as holy. It means to make holy and observe as holy. That's what the word sanctified means. So, in reading this verse again, let's hear worship and work coming from God's mouth. God, and this is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. God finished the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed. God set apart a day in which we could kneel before him in an act of adoration. So God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart as a holy day. He made it holy. This is time. The seventh day is time when God set apart this time so that we would kneel before him in an act of adoration and worship. We cease from our work. So in this chapter and verse, Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, we have God's commandment to Adam and Eve before there was any sin in the world, right? Before there were any nations in the world, God laid down this beautiful command saying, you should rest from your work and you should take time, extra special time, to worship me. That's what God is saying. So don't listen to your minister. Don't listen to commentaries. Listen to God. And this is what God says in his word. After all, again, he's the one that inspired the Bible to be written. So clearly, God set apart the seventh day as a time for mankind to rest from his work and spend special time in worship of the one true God. God has a name for this seventh day. Do you know what it is? The answer is found in the Hebrew word for rested. God says that he rested from all his work. Now this Hebrew word rested is Shabbat. It's spelled S-H-A-B-A-T-H, Shabbat, meaning to keep the Sabbath. Do you grasp what these scriptures are telling you? God created the Sabbath. God kept the Sabbath, and God blessed his children of obedience because Adam and Eve had not sinned at this time. So God blessed his children of obedience with the opportunity to fellowship with him in an intimate way on this special day. But Satan the devil wants his children of disobedience to disobey the command about this day, which has to do with our worship and work. So Satan the devil imposes a mark on people that has to do with their foreheads and their hands, having to do with their system of worship and work that is contrary to God's system of worship and work. Now my question to you is, do you want to be a child of obedience that rests on the seventh day and worships God like God instructed us? Or do you want to be a child of disobedience that worships God in the way of the pagans that has been influenced by Satan the devil? So again I ask, do you want to be a child of disobedience in a system of disobedience, or do you want to be a child of obedience?